You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Our Getting to Know the Council of Presidents series takes us to the Iowa District West today.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Irvine. You can learn more about Concordia University Irvine at cui.edu.
Joining us today, the Reverend Paul Egger. He serves as president of Iowa District West of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor Egger, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you. The Lord be with you all.
Thank you. It is good to have this time with you and get to have this conversation, get to know you a little bit more, and learn about Iowa District West as well. So for this series, Getting to Know the Council of Presidents, we start off with the lightning round. Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay. First up, favorite color.
Favorite color, blue.
All right. Favorite cuisine.
Okay, so I really like pretty much all food, but seafood is my favorite, and catfish. Our parents used to take us about once a month to a little country restaurant, so from a young age, I would always order catfish there, and so that's stayed with me.
Okay.
All right, favorite book. And we know that you love the Bible. We know that you love the Lutheran Confessions. We can build on top of that.
Well, and so if I could just start in the Bible, John's Gospel is my favorite book, with all of the I am, bread of life, light of the world, good shepherd, resurrection. So that's my favorite book of the Bible. Then I think probably Chronicles of Narnia, the series, and just memories. I read all those to my kids, just kind of laying on the floor in the hallway, and they were on their bunk beds and everything. So that just the content, but also just the memories. And then just a fictional book for really, I don't know, maybe junior high age kids, but with a book called Escape from Warsaw that was just from World War II. It's fictional, but it's kind of based on what could be actual experiences. It's just a well done and enjoyable read.
All right. We're going to have to make a book list out of all these episodes. We're getting a lot of good book recommendations.
Yeah.
All right. Favorite office supply. Anything that you find in your office that's useful for you?
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty crazy with the post-it notes and lists and yeah. So that's kind of a problem of mine, I suppose. But also just a good pen.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite kind of pen?
No, but I'll kind of sneak into our supply room here and try out different ones and, you know, take the ones that are decent. Or if I'm at like Council of Presidents or something, if there's some good pens, I'll try to, you know, steal a few extra, kind of a thing. Our oldest granddaughter is 15 years old, and she was just telling me that she's getting an Amazon order today in the mail of pens, because that's kind of her thing now also. I didn't know 15-year-old girls cared about pens, but I guess that's the thing. So just a good pen.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Favorite dessert.
So my great grandma Eden made, when we would visit, molasses cookies, and they were kind of thick and kind of hard. And after she died, there was no recipe. I think private detectives were probably hired to search for this recipe because everyone loved them. And no one has been able to figure out how to make these since she died, you know, years back. But those would have been my favorite dessert. I also like Jell-O with just like pears in it. I know that's not exactly a dessert, but
sure,
that's a thing. I have a horrible sweet tooth, so pretty much anything chocolate.
All of the above, I will eat. Yes.
Yeah.
Favorite vacation destination.
So, yeah, this is kind of a problem between my wife and me. So if you could maybe after this give her a call and chat with her about this. For me, I just love to go across the state to Muscatine, where I grew up, and stay there and just sort of wander around. That's kind of my thing. She is of the opinion that a vacation should be like real and we should like go somewhere. I suppose if we are thinking that direction, just anywhere super hot, temperature hot, where it's quiet, where we don't have really any scheduled activities. We can just kind of sit together and play cribbage, have a glass of wine, and go to movies, you know, in the late afternoon or something like that. So those would be vacations. Yeah.
All right.
The next question, favorite hymn.
So I have to break this into two hymns. I hope that's all right. Sorry. One is 560 in the hymnal, Drawn to the Cross, which Thou hast blessed. And then also 618, I come, O Savior, to thy table, for weak and weary is my soul. So those would be my favorite two hymns.
Those are excellent choices, although there are very few wrong answers for that question. Mm-hmm. And last one, favorite time of day.
Well, and this is kind of difficult. Now, you think it's a simple question, but it really depends on the day. So like Monday for me was always a great day. And my favorite time was the morning. I'd go up to an upstairs bedroom. The window was facing to the east and I'd have my cup of coffee. And I'd just start looking over the scripture readings for the next week and just kind of plan my week. And so that morning was just I treasured it a lot. So that was Monday. Tuesday through Friday, it'd be just after dark, where especially in the summer, we go to the ball fields and you know, kids would be playing and just even growing up in the evenings in the summer where the community comes out and you know, you just see everyone. And so then Saturday, it'd be in the afternoon where things are just kind of relaxed. And then, of course, Sunday, it'd be in the morning where God meets with us and gives us gifts.
You got lots of times of day. Depending on the day. I like it.
I know. Well, yeah, it matters the day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about where you grew up, Pastor.
Okay. So I was born, my dad was in the Army. I was born in Huntsville, Alabama on Redstone Arsenal at the hospital. My mom tells me that the night I was born, tornadoes were touching down around there. And so she had to hide with me under the bed. But I grew up in Muscatine, Iowa. It's on the Mississippi River. Mark Twain spent a summer there. And so this is quoted around Muscatine on some of the buildings. He wrote, of all of the places that I've traveled and lived, Muscatine has the most beautiful sunsets. If you two need a vacation sometime, just go to Muscatine, enjoy the sunsets. But I grew up in Muscatine. Do you want to hear about my family in Muscatine, or is that a thing?
Sure.
All right. Well, first of all, God has blessed me greatly with faithful parents. My parents are still living at home. They're in their upper 80s. Dad spent his life, he'd go to work and then he'd come home and he worked for Kent Feeds all of his life in Muscatine. Then he'd come home and he'd just play basketball with us, you know, on the driveway or catch with us in the yard. That was his thing. He would coach us in sports. What else about dad? Oh, at church, he taught confirmation, served as, you know, elder, as chairman, for Iowa District East. He was the chairman of the board of directors there for a number of years. She graduated from Iowa and taught school for, I think, a year or two, but then decided to be a stay-at-home mom and just read to us, you know, hours upon hours. She taught preschool at the church. I have two, you mentioned or noted earlier, my brother Tom. I have two brothers and two sisters. My older brother lives in Des Moines, then Tom, St. Louis Seminary president. I have a younger sister that's a school teacher in Muscatine and a sister, Amy, she was married to Matt Wenthe, the oldest son of Dean Wenthe, who was the seminary president at Fort Wayne. He died of a brain tumor at a young age, sadly, but he was great guy. But anyway, my sister still lives in the Twin Cities. I met my wife, Steph, at University of Northern Iowa. She was manager for the track team there, and I ran on the track team. And so that's how we met. She has chosen through the years to be a stay-at-home mom also and run our household. She's done a lot of substitute teaching in the public school system there. But she's always been active in church, Sunday school teacher, VBS music, choir, ladies aid, altar guild, all those things. And She's just finishing up serving on the CPH board of directors. This will be her 13th year. And so then she'll be done at this next convention. So children, we have 6 children. God has blessed us and 13 grandchildren with 2 more on the way. And 5 of our kids are Concordia, Nebraska grads. And they all worship faithfully or are active. 2 of them are Lutheran school teachers. And so we're thankful some of the time for our kids and all of the time for our grandkids. So that's where I grew up in a little family business.
Yeah, it sounds like a wonderful family life. And I love hearing stories of parents reading to their children for hours on end. That is such a wonderful thing. We have more to talk about with Reverend Paul Egger, president of Iowa District West of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, right after we take a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
At Concordia University Irvine, you have the freedom to explore your future and your faith. Across over 60 on-campus and online programs, you'll experience Christian education that's uniquely designed to develop the whole person, to prepare you not just for your career, but for all of your callings in life. Here you'll explore life's toughest questions, gain lifelong skills, and make relationships that last a lifetime. Concordia University Irvine. Learn more at cui.edu.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with the Reverend Paul Egger, president of Iowa District West of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And let's talk about your path to seminary. What was the path that eventually led to you going to seminary?
Oh, boy. So the path, again, you know, faithful parents, faithful pastors. There were three pastors that I remember really well, Pastor Peterson, Pastor Roschke, and a Pastor Remfer. The middle one, Pastor Roschke, he was already, I think, past retirement age when he came to our congregation, but he would come out during vacation Bible school and we'd be like, I can still see him and hear him. We'd be playing kickball and some kid would kick it well. And he would just shout out peaches and cream. And I mean, he was just this, like I said, elderly pastor that just loved the kids of the congregation and was a wonderful, influence, going to seminary. My wife was raised Roman Catholic. And so when we met in college, and we're dating, we went through instruction classes, first with the Roman Catholic priest together, and then with the Missouri Synod pastor together. We wrestled a lot together with scripture. And then after a time, she was ready and joined the Lutheran Church. And then it was after that that we decided to go to seminary. So those were really special times in college where we were going through instruction together. And so I would say that's a lot of our path to the seminary.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about your time at seminary and maybe some of the highlights from seminary life.
Well, okay. So I didn't go, you know, I went to Northern Iowa, so I didn't go to one of the Concordias. So, I mean, to me, you know, each class was so wonderful because I had so much to learn. You know, some of my favorite professors were Professor Marcourt, Dr. Just, Dr. Weinrich, but really all of them. One of my favorite memories from seminary is Professor Bullhagen. I had us in a class, and one day after it, the preacher was one of the seminary students, and the sermon was fine, but really didn't have anything to do with the text. And so afterwards, he gathered us together, and Professor Bullhagen had just kind of this deep draw of a voice, and he just kind of looked us over and said, "Gentlemen, you know, I just one observation, you know, one thing to consider when you're preaching a sermon it might be good if it has something to do with the text. And so years later, I don't know Latin, but years later, I came across just a Latin phrase, haec dixit Dominus, which means God himself has said this. And I put it on a post-it note in the pulpit just to remind me, you know, as a pastor, that it's probably not a good idea for me to be giving opinions or, you know, subjective thoughts, but to actually preach the text. And so I think of Professor Bullhagen. Yeah. So that's as far as classwork goes. I was able to play on the seminary basketball team. Pastor Saunders, President Saunders from Iowa East, he and I were the same class and so played together. And it was interesting because our first year was a great year for Fort Wayne basketball. I think we had maybe 22 wins or something like that. I know President Harrison was on that team and has a picture of us in his office at the International Center. So President Saunders and I were the only two first-year students on that team. And we beat some pretty good Wright State and teams like that go to the NCAA tournament. We were good. And so then all of the fourth year guys graduated. All the second year guys went out onto Vicarage. And so it was us and then some all new guys. And we were kind of back to, well, you know, old men basketball. And some of these teams that we had, you know, beaten like for the first time in seminary history, they were not merciful after that. And I don't know, we didn't win. We'd get beat 110 to like 7 and that sort of thing. So we had the nice start and then God taught us humility. But I'm very thankful for my years at seminary and just to be able to learn from the professors and just soak up, you know, just very special years.
Absolutely. What happened after seminary, the congregational life post seminary?
Okay, so I received a call to a church in Flora, Illinois. At that point, it was the southern tip of the Central Illinois District. Now it's part of a dual parish, and it's in the Southern Illinois District. But that was a wonderful, wonderful 10 and a half years. Didn't ever want to leave there. And in fact, I didn't ever fill out all of my PIF and SET forms because I didn't ever want to consider a call. But our years there, my wife kept popping out kids. And so, you know, pretty soon, you know, we went from, well, I guess we had three by the time we were done with seminary. But then shortly after that, we had six there and just a wonderful congregation. I don't know what to say other than we thank God for our years there and the people there in the congregation, but also the community. I mean, it was a really close-knit, I would say, community and just a wonderful place to live and to raise children. So that was just straight out of seminary. I'll say one more thing. During seminary, I never really would ask questions or speak in class just because, like I said, I hadn't been to one of the Concordias and it was just a whole new world for me. A lot of the students would kind of hang out with the professors and I just always didn't. Because I thought I'm going to say something, they're going to realize how much I don't know, and my wife and I with the children, so you know we would have family time. After the call service, there were some people that came up from the Flora congregation, and so I got to meet them, and that was very special. But also, Dr. Walter A. Meyer the second, who I had for a couple classes. He walked past after the call service and the people of the congregation were there and he shook my hand and he said, "Congratulations, Pastor Egger. I did not know that he knew my name." And that just was the one of the greatest moments, you know, just that I thought, oh, wow, you know, a professor of his stature actually knows my name when, you know, I would never speak or ask a question in his class. So that, but he took the time to come over to me and greet me. And that was very special.
What are your duties now as district president for Iowa District West?
Mm-hmm. So I think the greatest duty right now is just visiting. I try to go to a different congregation each weekend, each Sunday, and some on Saturday nights also. And that's been a wonderful joy for me, just to hear the preaching and the teaching. I usually greet the congregation, just bring them, you know, word from the district office, talk for just a minute during announcements or during Bible study, if the pastor prefers, about, you know, what is Iowa District West. And so, just the joy of mingling, with the people of the congregations and hearing the pastors. So that's, I think, most important. And then just supporting and encouraging the pastors. I mean, you know, just the strain, you know, pastors are under these days. And so I look forward to sitting down with pastors or talking with pastors on the phone, and just encouraging them. I visit we have 8 Lutheran schools here in the district. So I visit them lead devotions at the schools and really enjoy being around the little ones. Just on the Council of Presidents, and I've only been to, I think, 3 now of our Council of Presidents meetings, but just wrestling together with God's word and, you know, what does it mean to be synod, you know, for us to be walking together and to you know, rub shoulders with these district presidents. You know, each district has its own personality and so just to learn about, you know, what God is doing in California, what is God doing out on the East Coast? You know, I know, Sarah, you know, you said you were from Michigan. I didn't know there were Christians in Michigan, but I guess maybe there's a few. and so, you know, hear from the district president there, so anyway, and then also, you know, writing articles for newsletters and one of the emphases I've had so far is just to encourage our congregations to consider returning to, you know, the church's historic practice of every Sunday communion. And so I've written articles about that. And I just got a text from a layman here Monday saying, wanted to let you know that our congregation just voted Sunday yesterday to return to every Sunday communion. And so hearing those things, giving the people the opportunity to sit at table with our Lord each Lord's Day, that makes serving as district president special.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us a little bit more about Iowa District West, what Iowa District West is geographically, but also the congregations, the people that make up the district.
Mm-hmm. So we have 165 congregations. We have 16 circuits. One of the things I've tried to do as district president is have lots of communication with our circuit visitors. So we have Zoom meetings and then we meet in person. And so just to hear from them, you know, what's going on in their circuits and for us just to try to be of one mind, whether we're at our monthly, circuit conferences or wherever it might be. That's I guess geographically our district. You had emailed me just a question. One of the questions was, what's unique about Iowa District West? Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I would say is Mission Central is located here in Iowa West. Gary Teese, a layman who started raising money to support missionaries years ago and now, you know, raises millions of dollars and travels all over the world. And also then Pastor Steve Schultz is there, who was in our circuit as a pastor when I first got here. And then he left for North Dakota and thawed out a little bit and came back to Iowa now to serve at Mission Central. And so we're thankful for Mission Central and all that they do there. Also, I was talking to our business manager, Roger Curtis, and I said to him, you know, what's unique about Iowa District West? He said, well, because he knew about this interview. And he said, well, be sure to tell everyone that he thinks ours is the only district that has their three-year convention at a camp. And so he wanted everyone to know that we are good stewards of the funds in Iowa District West, because we have our district convention at Camp Okoboji. And so we rough it a little bit, and that's okay. But it's a wonderful camp, and so we have convention there. Also, we provide a lot of financial support for any student going to a Concordia, whether or not they're in church work. And if they are in church work, then you know we provide a little bit more. But our district is very, very generous. Also, we give grants in paying back loans for professional church workers that come into our district. One other thing I would say about our district is two of our recent synod presidents have come from or have ties to our district. Al Berry served as pastor in Logan, Iowa, before he went to Iowa East and became district president there and then synod president. Then also our current president, Matt Harrison, is from Iowa West and still comes back and spends time here.
Outstanding. There are a lot of unique things in Iowa District West. Yeah. A lot of things are busy there. So it sounds like you're visiting congregations frequently. Pastor, why are you a pastor in the LCMS today?
Okay, well, so I think I'll, can I break that into two questions?
Sure.
So first, just why am I a pastor? And I guess the simple answer to that is God gives some to be pastors. So why a pastor? Faithful parents, and I've talked about them, the faithful pastors that I grew up under and their counsel along the way. My faithful wife and all the scripture searching we did together. Why am I a pastor? Just one more kind of an influencer. When I was in seventh grade, the summer after seventh grade, I was given the opportunity to be the youth delegate from Iowa District East to the International Lutheran Layman's League Convention in Denver, Colorado. So that was a lot of years ago, and that was my first time on an airplane, and everything was wonderful there. At that convention, Dr. Wally Schultz was in charge of the youth, and so he would meet with us and have discussions with us and lead devotions. And what a faithful preacher and teacher. The youth, seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade, I think we were all about that age. We just marveled and appreciated. I sometimes wonder, if we would have kept track of all those kids that were there that he was able to influence, how many of them are faithful laity in congregations today or in some sort of professional church work. We have our Set Apart to Serve initiative, which is wonderful in our synod right now, that Dr. Schultz was just like a walking Set Apart to Serve encourager. So that's, why a pastor, faithful parents, faithful pastors, faithful wife, faithful people like Dr. Schultz. And then the second part of that, what about this whole Missouri Synod business? Again, by God's grace, that God has given our synod through all of our wrestlings and struggles and celebrations, still, faithful to scripture, faithful in the administration of God's sacraments. We could have all been born to Muslim extremist parents, but we weren't. And so, by God's grace, we had our kids and grandkids all home two summers ago for about a week, and it was really a wonderful thing. And we had a theme psalm, which was Psalm 16, where David writes, "The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places." And, you know, when we think about the Missouri Synod, her history, all that we have today, scripturally, you know, the boundary lines have fallen for us in pleasant places. So, yeah, I guess that's why am I a pastor in the LCMS? Those would be my thoughts. Let me add one more thing. As a pastor and now as a district president, you know, it's wonderful just to see President Harrison. They took the new district presidents over to Germany, six of us, and just to see him kind of on the world stage with other Lutheran leaders, and then just how he works with us at Council of Presidents. That's makes it wonderful to be a pastor and a district president now here in our synod.
Fantastic. We're going to loop back around to the lightning round for one follow-up question. And I love hymns quite a bit. So I want to ask you why you picked those two. I'm curious why those two hymns are your favorite ones.
Wow. Well, the I Come, O Savior, to Thy Table. I can remember when I first from seminary went to a Faith Lutheran Church in Flora, and I look back at some of those sermons, and they were so horrible. They just went on and on, and they would have like no conclusion, and I would draw lines and arrows and on them, and I just would feel so sorry for the people, you know, looking back. But one of the things that always pastorally gave me comfort was, look, you know, there's the sermon, whatever, but here is the Lord's table. And for me personally, as a husband, as a dad, and knowing, you know, all of the help I need and the help Jesus offers. So this hymn, I Come, O Savior, to Thy Table, for me, it's just always been special. Drawn to the cross which thou hast blessed. Part of it is I think back of just wasted time, you know, in my life. And the hymn, you know, speaks to that. Thou knowest all thy, you know, thy grace abused my misspent years. And so, you know, I think through some of that. But just again, you know, that this hymn always brings us back to the cross and Christ crucified and in our Missouri Synod, you know, what a wonderful proclamation we have of Christ crucified. And so, yeah, that hymn especially, or both of those. So that would be some thoughts.
Our guest today, the Reverend Paul Egger, he's president of the Iowa District West of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor Egger, thanks for joining us on this special series. It's great to chat with you today.
God be with you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.